Blog Talk Radio.
Alakia, greetings and hotel. Welcome to Oracle's Reading by Omiinka 7. You are with Omiinka live here in the Blog Talk Room. Thank you so very much for joining me. I've been gone for a while throughout the season. I've been taking some sabbaticals. I hope you don't mind a bit because I've been out and about and doing various different things. As you know, I brought a series on bringing out the Buddha in you and becoming a God. I hope you went back and listened to that particular segment of our show because that segment was a very special one that I brought on. And, you know, the school season has just slipped up on us, and I have forgotten all about those teachers out there, and especially my parents, who I treasure so dearly. And I do believe in that they are the first teachers. So let me put some focus on the topic today to say I would like for all the parents to come in the room. This segment has been dedicated specifically to you. Without any commercials, I might add, and without music, because we're trying to give you the best that we got. Giving you the best that we got. So we're going to give you all the time that you need and not waste time with the music today. This is an educational segment for those families with children that are challenged and have special needs. Now we're getting ready to put you to work. We're getting ready to make you the advocate and the advocate to self-advocate for your own child and to run a business. That's right. We're talking about cooperative economics where you can begin to take control of your own community. You see, as the title reads, what is your vision? And if your vision is to run a community center and to put the community back in your neighborhood. And that's what I'm about to talk to you about, how parents can take the lead and take the responsibility of having a vision to have their communities put back together again. And what makes up a community? We need to have community centers that focus in on our families' needs. And right now, what is overabundant in our community is children that are challenged and children with deficits and disabilities. Parents, I know you think that it's easy just to put your child on the medicine, give them the Ritalin, and go get the check. But contrary, my friend, I want to show you how you can work towards making your child a more stable child and a more adequate one in their academics by putting a family resource center in your neighborhood. That's right. Right now, the government has mandated that we have PTIs, Parent Information Center, in every state. Now they've come out with the parent resource centers, self-directed parent resource centers, I might add, and these are resource centers that are going to be in your neighborhood, and you will see them throughout different areas of concentrated racial backgrounds, Hispanic family and parent resource center, African-American parent resource centers, Hispanic parent resource center, Asian parent resource center, Turkish parent resource center, Japanese Parent Resource Center. That's right. You can label your Parent Resource Centers according to your background and your racial position. Now, it's very important that you should understand that community has left our avenues and left our blocks, and we are left without anywhere to meet up to talk about our issues in our schools and to talk about our children's failing deficit and how we can turn that around. Now, who am I? I am your professional guidance, and I am your technical assistant. I will be offering training and grants for those of you who are very interested in starting your own Parent Information Resource Center. Now, let me make sure I get this right. Parent Information Resource Center. And that is not the PTI. The PTI is the umbrella of the state. The Parent Resource Center, there can be many of those in one state. So there will be competitions for grants that are out there that you'll hear about, the RFBP. But I want to also tell you, they're not enough to go around. There are only 10 of them, but they're $100,000, people. $100,000 for a grant. Now, you know people are going to be fighting with their cat claws on to get that money, I'm sure. Now, but let me tell you this. There's other ways of raising funds, and I want you to know about it. Now, I'm going to make a little change here, and I don't know if I'm going to, I'm testing something out here. So bear with me. I want to say this much to you. I want to say that there's going to be some changes in the fact that you no longer have to fight over those grants. There are tons of other ways that you can raise money. And I'm sure you've been hearing about it on the Internet, of course. There is one in particular that I would like to direct you to, and that is crowdfunding. Say that with me, crowdfunding your project. If you want a parent information center in your neighborhood and you don't mind being a part of crowdfunding, I can help you. You've come to the right place. That's right. I am an expert in the area of working with parents and guiding them in the direction of parent information centers. Now, I want you to understand, in order for us to have communities, we must have facilities such as libraries, and most of our inner cities, such as in Gary, Indiana, those libraries have fled, and we have maybe one or two less than what we had before. And some of us never, ever see the parent, and we never see the resource centers that focus in on special needs. Now, let me put the attention on special needs, because I'm calling out to all the libraries out there. If you would like for me to come and speak to your library about adding a segment onto your library for parent resource centers for special needs families, that is a category just like your law library. However, these are the laws that pertain to 94, 142, 504, Articles 7, IDEA Law, the 457 Law, the IDEA Law. These are the laws that pertain to educational law. And some of you lawyers are coming into your own and becoming specialists in educational law. Now, that is my background. However, I've worked many years in that area as a paralegal doing educational law. So I want to acquaint you to the fact that this is legal information that parents must know about. They must know how to identify their child's deficit or disability. They must know what the criteria are for disability. Now, let me change gears a little bit and read from the appendix and tell you a little bit about what the government has prepared for you and written. The PTIs, which stands for the Parent Information Center, the PTIs, Parent Technical Assistance, and we have technical assistant out there, and I am a technical assistant, and I will be assisting these centers. Now, one of the things I urge you to do is get your hands on some of the legal IDEA laws and the Article 7 so you can read the regulations. Now, the PTIs and the CPRCs, and those are the centers that the parents can run that are family resource centers. And then the authorizing legislature, the excerpt from the IDEA is what I'll be reading you from. In Section 2004. Section 671, it reads, it says the Parent Training Information Center. That's what that section is. The program authorizes, such as, in general, the secretary may award grants to and enter into contract and cooperative agreement with parent organizations to support parent training and information centers to carry out activities under this section, 671. Now, they define the parent organization as the term parent organization means a private, non-for-profit organization other than an institution of higher education, and that has a board of directors. That's right, ladies. You will need, and gentlemen, you will need a board of directors, the majority of whom should be parents of children with disabilities. And that age group that you'll be serving is birth through 26. and that should include individuals working in the field of special education, related services, and early intervention, and individuals with disabilities. Now, the early intervention is my area of specialty, working with birth to three and birth to five. I work with the mental health of the infant and toddlers, and this is a policy working area where I define policies to parents and talk about getting the parent reunited with their infant once they've been taken away out of the home. So that is my area, the early intervention. Individuals with disabilities and parents and professional members, of which are broadly representatives of populations to be served in low-income parents and parents of limited English proficiency children. Now, the limited English is also an area that I have become proficient in and have gotten endorsements in English as a second language. And because English as a second language is also a deficit, it has been placed in there under Title III. And it has its mission serving families of children with disabilities who are age birth through 26, as I told you earlier, and have the full range of disabilities described in the Section 602, Section 3. And they describe all the disabilities for you. And you can go and get your hands on that and read it. And the requirement of the activities, each parent training information center that receives assistance, of course, under this section, they shall, and I repeat, they shall provide training information that meets the need of parents of children with parents of children with disabilities. And I want to stress that. And they used to include those children that were gifted and talented. I'm not certain if those children are still included. With disabilities living in the area served by the center. Living in the area served by the center. There's your community right there, ladies and gentlemen. Living in the area. Why aren't our children being served by a community family resource center in the community? Living in the area served by the center, particularly underserved parents and parents of children who may be inappropriately identified. And I'm sure you know a lot of our black boys have been inappropriately identified and placed in special ed with the label. Identified to enable their families, to enable their children with disabilities to, number one, A, meet the developmental functional goals and challenges, academic achievement goals that have been established for all children, and B, to be prepared to lead productive, independent adult lives to the maximum extent possible. Number two, they need to serve the parents of infants, toddlers, and children with the full range of disabilities described in our Section 602, Section 3. Ensure that the training and information provided meets the needs of low-income parents and parents of limited English proficiency children. And number four, assist parents to better understand the nature of their children's disabilities and their educational, developmental, and institutional needs. That is why a library is needed in that category to help the parent identify the child's deficit, what the symptoms are, and to clearly understand the disabilities, challenges, and side effects so that the parent could be better equipped to know how to deal with this child's disability. It is vital that that parent have access to a resource center such as a library, and that is one of the things that you'll be creating in this center. Those who decide to be the parent resource centers or the family resource centers, they will have to be knowledgeable about servicing the community. And we will speak on that in a minute about the areas that they must cover. Number B, communicate effectively and work collaboratively with personnel responsible for providing special education, early intervention services, transition service, and related services as well. They will, number C, participate in the decision-making process and the development of individual education programs under Part B and individualized family service plans under Part C. And D, obtain appropriate information about the range, type, and quality of, number one, the option program, services, technological practices, interventions based on scientifically based research to extend the practicality or the practical and resource available to assist children with disabilities and their families in schools and at home. And E, understand the provision of this title for the education and the provision of early intervention services to children with disabilities. F, participate in activities at the school level that benefits their children. And G, participate in school reform activities. Now, the state where the state elects to contract with the parent training and information centers contracts with the state educational agencies to provide consistent with subparagraph of B and D of Section 615, i.e. number 2. Individuals who meet the parent to explain the mediation process to the parent. Now, parents will have to learn mediation process because that happens sometimes. Parents have to mediate on behalf of their children and go to due process, which is something they will have to be trained on. Assist parents in resolving disputes in the most explicit and effective way, possibly including encouraging the use and explaining the benefit of alternative methods of dispute resolution, such as the mediation process described in Section 615E. And seven, assist parents and students with disabilities to understand their rights and responsibilities under titles and include those under Section 615 upon the students reaching the age of majority as appropriate under state laws. Eight, assist parents to understand the liability of the how to effectively use procedural safeguards under this title, including the resolution section described in Section 615E. Number nine, assist parents in understanding pairing for the participating in the process of described in Section 615.11B. Number 10, establish cooperative partnerships with community parent resource centers and fund it under Section 672. Number 11, network with appropriate clearinghouses, including organizations conducting national dissemination activities under Section 663 and the Institution of Education Sciences, and with other national, states, and local organizations and agencies such as protection advocacy agencies that serve parents and families of children with full range of disabilities described in Section 602, Section 3, and 12, annually report to Secretary on A, the number of demographics of parents to whom the center provides information and training, and most recently concludes the physical year, and B, the effectiveness of strategies used to reach and serve parents, including underserved parents of children with disabilities, and C, the number of parents served who have resolved disputes through alternative methods of dispute resolution. Now, let me stop for a second. I've given you a whole mouthful, parents, and you can go at your own leisure and look this information up. It is made available to parents as well as other stakeholders who would like to read about what the procedures are. Now, there is a number of things, i.e., that the parent who decides to become a resource center will have to do. And that is to look at, if you're going to become a parent information center, or a parent and Family Resource Center, you're going to have to think about your project's funding. How are you going to fund this? Are you going to go after the grants that are made available by the educational government system, or will you fund your own project? And that's where I come in at. I want to help you to understand that there are a number of different IE programs out there, and the one that I'm most fond of is the crowdfunding. And the crowdfund your project is not a difficult thing to do. And that project, we'll be speaking more about how you can sign up with crowdfunding. And I'm not talking about GoFundMe because I'm not very familiar with that project, and I had to pull out because I was not familiar with it. The one that I am familiar with is the crowdfunding project, which you can fund just about any project for any reason. Your ultimate guide to creating money for any financial need is available to you in the crowdfunding. Now, I will be speaking on the crowdfunding in depth. Today, I will just give you a breadth of knowledge rather than a depth of knowledge. However, you can fund your own projects. Now, let me tell you the different categories. I spoke briefly about them a few minutes ago, and there are booklets and training in a nutshell that can help you to set up your community resource center for your particular neighborhood. What I am proposing is that we have a regional office, and the regional office will be stationed here on the west side of town in Gary, Indiana, or in the northern Indiana area of Crown Point or Maryville. And that agency will be the technical assistant that will help these communities to get up and going. I have been talking to people over the summer about this particular project and the need for it. And I am committed to giving my time to the city of Gary, Indiana, and the nearby neighboring areas of the northern area of Indiana, because this is a must and a due need creation that must get started. And I'm appealing to all those out there on Facebook and LinkedIn, Twitters, if you are listening and hear my voice, those who are nearby neighboring people in the city of Gary, Indiana, I want you to know that this came about through the need for the west side of town of Gary, Indiana, to find designated jobs for the community to do in order to create our community resource for family information. This Family Information Center is a dual family information center. It will be focusing in on those families with special needs. However, we'll also be focusing in on parents in general, not just a parent center, but one that will provide them with resources, material, and technical assistance of things that they can check out from the library. We will be recommending that these centers on the west side, north side, east side, south side, be a resource center, that one will offer workshops, seminars, and symposiums free of charge to the community. Now, even if you don't get your funding for setting up your particular resource and referral center, you can get technical assistance, and you will be able to get technical assistance through my regional office, and that I will give my commitment to assist anyone who decides to set up a parent information center free of charge, because this is a definite must meet parents. And I'm saying this because there were a lot of schools that let out this year, and one in particular was Lincoln School. I do not know where those children went, nor those parents. I do know they need assistance, though. And I know the whole city of Gary needs assistance with special needs children. Now, in the area that I have expertise is in the area of ELL, English as a Second Language. And as you know, I spoke about those children who will be in shelter programs probably throughout the East Chicago, Indiana, Hammond area. However, if we have children that have been inappropriately placed in those special ed classes, they will also need assistance, and they will also need advocacy work done as well. Now, one of the things I would like to see happen is that we have a lending library in all of these geographical neighborhood Family Resource Centers, that it is a lending library that will lend out materials that parents can utilize, that stakeholders can utilize. There has never been anything like this before because our libraries have not addressed our special needs families. However, I brought this attention to one of the nearby neighboring libraries, which I will not mention their name. They were in agreement with me that there is a need to place some of these centers within one or two of the libraries in the inner city because these families need help and they need a place to go and find resource on their child's disability or to check out materials that are specifically for their disabled child or challenged child. Now, I would like to say this. Those who are parents, they are advocates and they're professionals. They are the first instructor, the first teacher. They will have to be trained, of course, to become surrogate advocates. And there are a number of places that they can be trained through agencies that do training in a surrogate advocacy. And one of them for the state of Indiana is InSource, which has done a fantastic job of training a surrogate advocate. Now, I'm not talking about a surrogate advocates now. I'm talking about parents running their own resource centers. Now, how will they get the building, you say? And where is the location coming from? Most resource centers have started in the home, and they actually have a base in the home, and they go out to the facilities such as the schools and assist the parent. However, if we're going to have resource materials, we want to house them somewhere. That is why you need to look at fundraising and crowdfunding to be able to raise the funds to manufacture or to rent or to lease or to buy a facility down the road so you can have something that resembles a library. Now, there are places that will also allow you to share their space, such as hospitals and other libraries throughout the community that will allow you to house a facility there as well. Now, the main thing I want you to understand, there is also laws that says that the parent, as a special needs parent, is also obligated to be able to work in the capacity of a government job because under Title IV, I think it reads that they are eligible for employment because they are advocates. Now, let me go over something and slow down here. There are a lot of children that are transitioning to the workforce that are coming out of high school, and they have no post-secondary education plan in place. No plan in place for transition whatsoever. And a number of those children transition out without an activity plan of going to work or going to college. That needs to happen with the connection of all of the schools with the seniors having a transitional plan by the time that they're 14 so they can transition into the workforce. We need to have several parent information centers that have committees that will have volunteers that will assist them to keep down their costs so that they are not running a full-blown organization, but there are some positions that must be filled, and they must be W-2s or they must be contracted. So you cannot run these centers with all volunteers. You must have a coach, one in special education that does training, a liaison person, a coordinator. So I'll go over those with you in a second. Now let's define the Family Resource Center. All in a nutshell, you'll be able to come to a workshop and you will be able to pick up on the information defining the Family Resource Center. Let me just read you a little smidget so it'll give you an idea if you're a candidate for a Family Resource Center. A Family Resource Center, ideally, they are parent-directed, comprehensive, one-stop shop. And one-stop shopping services provides that elects the client and to act as a link between families and professionals. They do not supply or replace or duplicate any part of the care system. Rather, the Family Resource Center fills the gap that has existed too long in the care of all children and families. And many of these families have social, economic, occupational, educational, or geographically status and deficits and concerns, or they may be ill or have disabilities. This is what it says here. And it says families who originally start calling their agencies family resource centers are beginning to call themselves PDFRC, and that stands for Parent Directed Family Resource Centers. Let me say that again, Parent Directed Family Resource Centers. At this point in time, many people are struggling to define family resource centers as they begin to perceive themselves as part of an answer to and perhaps prevent, if not all kinds of education, health, legal, and social problems related to children with families. A lot of current harms and talks about Family Resource Center comes from Part H of the Public Law 99457, which is a federal law passed in 1989 to enhance the care of our population from age 0 to 3 years old. This law was reorganized of Public Law 94142 for the free and appropriate education of all handicapped children in the least restrictive environment. As part of this law, the family resource centers were mandated. That is why they became mandated, ladies and gentlemen, because we had to reconstruct the laws of 94142 to read that Part H in Public Law 99457. Now, these laws may not mean anything to you, but some of you teachers out there, you know what I'm talking about. These are the laws that we talk about in class, and we become well-versed on these laws as well. I want some of you teachers that are retired, that are no longer working, to reconsider and think about having a parent resource center or having a parent-directed family resource center, and bring this community back to life again. If you have a vision, one of those visions should be to bring community back to its particular place in the east side, the west side, the north side, and the south side. And as a regional director and a coordinator who will assist you, I can reassure you that I have ran a parent information center before. I ran one of the first CHAD chapters out in Schaumburg, Hoffman Estates, Indiana, under the CHAD chapter, and that particular Parent Information Center was ran from the home. I did receive a small grant to do training and development. My training and development has been completely packaged and finished and ready for television production. Through hard work and efforts, many women around the world have came to the training, made it possible for a four-part training teaching all aspects of special ed, and that is on DVD format and will be available for purchasing. And these are trainings that have been done, workshops, symposiums, for five long days, and women that were experts in the area of parent resource centers, they were able to demonstrate as students in my class. Up under my auspices and training, they received the training on the 94142 and also on the 99457 Part H. So they are well equipped in the area of transition, of completing IEPs, and understanding the transitional part of special education. So you're not dealing with some lightweight. You will be dealing with some heavyweights who will be introducing you to the parent and family resource centers and how to set them up. This is something we can do, ladies. Even if we don't get the funding, you can start from your home as a cottage home business, and you can then solicit for your funding through your own fundraisers. And then, if you wanted to decide to have a home school, you can also put a private school right in to your parent resource center and conduct a home school for your children if need be. I want to tell you this because we need alternatives. We need alternatives to our failing schools, and we need alternatives to the fact that we have charter schools now. We need to have resource centers. We need to have teachers who are experts and that are retirees bring their skills back and leave something behind as a legacy. And that's what I'm attempting to do, is to leave a legacy behind for the West Side area of Gary, Indiana, where I grew up at and where I had my first tutelage and training from Beveridge Elementary School. And I will say this much, there are a lot of parents and teachers out there who are very interested in being a part of this proposal that I'm making. I'm not making a proposal to put money in anyone's pocket. I'm not making a proposal to line any church's congregational plate. I'm making a proposal to recreate community and to develop our own community so that we can build again and we can rebuild the Gary area and rebuild the suburban nearby areas, because there is no community anywhere that I found here. And that bothers me quite a bit, because our children now have been let out of schools because there is attrition and people are leaving communities. But that does not mean that we do not have to have resource centers. We must create resource centers. We must be an institution, and we must recreate the opportunity for parents to self-advocate for their children. Now, I will be speaking again on this topic, so you want to follow this topic and find out when the next segment will be and how you can get a hold on these materials. And we will be having a workshop. I'm not sure if it's going to be a webinar workshop or one that will be in that actual hotel. You will learn things like why parent centers, how to do your fundraising guide for parent centers, an organization of non-for-profit. A world awaits you for those special ed children who would like to travel abroad. And also learning the Indiana State Board of Education special education rules, Title 5, 11, Article 7, Rule 17 through 31. You will be learning strategies for success, an evaluation from a handbook, looking for family-friendly materials such as selected resource, families and children with disabilities. These are just some of the things. And the Indiana State Board of Education, you definitely want to get a copy of that. You'll be looking at the waiver programs, Indiana Medicare Home and Community-Based Services for Waiver Programs, a guide for consumers. And you'll be looking at developing parent leadership and growing grant writing manuals for community parent resource centers. This is what we're focusing on to get our communities back. And we'll also be looking at the toolkit, number 1 and 2, for assessing cultural responsiveness in after-school programs. Is it culturally responsiveness? And we'll look at the English as a second language, also as a deficit for children that are misappropriately or misplaced in special ed. So these are some things that experts in the field should want to be a part of. As we rebuild our community, we can rebuild our family resource centers and recreate communities. Why don't you join me today and be a part of rebuilding our communities in the northern Indiana, Gary, specifically, and generally the northern and the area of the nearby neighboring cities. And if we can build our communities, we can have our city back again. And that's how we do this thing. We don't wait for them to give us new schools and charter schools, but we rebuild our own schools through choice. And teachers that are out there that are unemployed, that are looking for employment, here's where you can make a difference. Here's where you can build resource centers, technical resource centers that will help these children who don't have the tools such as computers and have lending libraries so that parents can check these things out to help their disabling children. And there are no handicapped children, only disabled children, and we all have deficits. Let's join in to help build our communities. What vision do you have? Do you have a vision to recreate your community? If you do, start by building parent resource and family centers. Start by building PTIs, parent information centers, and start by reconnecting with your parent information center through the InSource. And join me as we make an effort to recreate community. Our vision is to build community by recreating parent information centers. We'll see you next time, and we should be back on again. Look for the schedule, and we'll be back on the schedule on a regular basis. But right now, we are going to be stagnated because there's many things that we're working on. So stay tuned, and thank you so much for joining me. You've been listening to Maddie Harvey's Baby Sister, and I say, oh, Dabo, and Baba Booey to you, y'all. Take care.